Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. As usual, on our program today, we have a lot of video material to present. I wanted to include several more videos, video clips, that is, but had to cut them out of today's presentations due to time constraints. Here's a brief overview of our first three video clips, which will be played back-to-back without further commentary. If you watch any news at all, you are aware of the well-planned and coordinated violence being directed in Minnesota by the communist left toward Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, officers as they attempt to enforce U.S. immigration law. And of late, the fatal shooting of the nurse, Alex Petty, I believe is his name, by ICE agents after he showed up with a gun to demonstrate against ICE, aggressively confronted ICE officers and violently resisted their attempts to restrain him, resulting in him being fatally shot. With the aid of their highly paid corporate media propagandists, there are ongoing efforts to whip up public hysteria over this incident in a desperate attempt to distract, cover up, and defeat federal investigations into massive fraud and waste in government social services programs in Minnesota that ultimately aid the corrupt, communist-aligned Democratic Party. At least that's my opinion, and from what I have seen, the opinion of numerous other commentators. As with all the Democrat-controlled states, state and local government officials in Minnesota have supported the large-scale importation by the Biden administration of hordes of violent, criminal, and other illegal immigrants in blatant violation of immigration law into their state in order to have them counted as people inhabiting these states for increased congressional seat apportionment for Democrats after the 2030 census. According to the leftist and globalist propagandists of the corporate media, Trump has supposedly caved into the rioting mobs in Minnesota and is in retreat with his earlier immigration enforcement surge in Minnesota. But the reality is just the opposite. Our first video is from a recent post by conservative commentator Dr. Steve Turley on his YouTube channel. And there Turley lays out what's been really happening in Minnesota. We then jump to a video from former Trump advisor Steve Bannon's War Room program, where correspondent Noor Bin Laden warns that the U.S. is definitely being subjected to a classic color revolution with the intent of overthrowing the Trump administration, defeating MAGA, and reimposing the communist globalist revolution on America that was started under the left's puppet and bootlick, the criminal and traitor Joe Biden. In case you weren't aware, Noor Bin Laden is the daughter of Osama Bin Laden's half-brother. She is a Swiss citizen and is a big supporter of President Trump and the MAGA movement. In recent years, as a member of Bannon's so-called War Room Posse, she has been reporting on the globalist and pro-communist elitist maniacs gathering at the infamous World Economic Forum at Davos, Switzerland, where they meet every January and plot a world government takeover of humanity. You will hear her refer to articles dealing with this, posted recently on the website of the Globalist Council on Foreign Relations. She says U.S. political violence, such as that going on in Minnesota, is entirely manufactured and tells viewers the country is 100% going through a color revolution, as I mentioned, citing these Council on Foreign Relations articles and Davos speeches as signs of a push towards centralized power, control, and governance, along with mass surveillance. Our third video is from a recent post on his YouTube channel, Real Politics, by commentator Brian Maxwell, one of my favorite political analysts. As with many of us observing current events, Maxwell, I believe, may be off a little at times with the exact accuracy of his commentary, but the bulk of it is right on, revealing, and insightful. In this video on election fraud, we begin where Maxwell plays a clip from commentary by former CIA operative Gary Burnson on the election running companies Smartmatic and Dominion. Now, Dominion has recently been sold. It's now called Liberty Voting Systems or something like that. But it's the same election steal enabling software, as I understand it, including source code and hardware. At least I've seen that asserted. I don't have any doubt about it myself. And there's a lawsuit ongoing which may reveal this if we ever get to that point. But a lot more has been reported about it, including by Gary Burnson, who spent years investigating. And we will hear some very insightful things as he relates this. Host Brian Maxwell doesn't identify Burnson by nature. I'm sorry, doesn't formally identify Burnson at the start of the video clip of him. And it shows another person by another name briefly. But don't be distracted by this. It's the man making this presentation in the video is clearly Gary Burnson, who is named prominently in the new book, Stolen Elections, The Takedown of Democracies Worldwide by Ralph Pezzullo, P-E-Z-Z-U-L-L-O, which is available currently on Amazon. After Burnson, another brief video shows a segment of an interview with former CEO and founder of Overstock.com and election integrity activist Patrick Byrne, who's also mentioned in the book and who was involved in a very interesting incident, which we'll relate shortly here. Byrne is stating in this brief video clip how this election stealing software and hardware has been used worldwide to rig elections, benefiting the communists and allied globalists, and in the U.S., the communist-aligned Democratic Party. Maxwell relates that, after we hear Byrne's video, Maxwell adds a few comments of his own about how we can help save the midterm elections, which traditionally go to the opposing party, except for a couple times in the last many years. And also, Maxwell relates that Elon Musk, he says, was able to disable these Dominion servers in Belgrade during the 2024 election that helped enable Donald Trump to win the presidency. Actually, as I understand it, Elon Musk was presented with information by Burnson and others, through Patrick Byrne, and he analyzed it himself, agreed with it, went to Trump's people, and thus they were able to secretly dispatch a cyber team. I'm not sure what part of the government, U.S. government, they played, if any, but they went to Belgrade and reportedly were successful in disabling the servers there during the 2024 election.
It happened. Governor Tim Walz finally caved.
You are now under arrest. Please sit down and wait for instruction.
Last night, Minneapolis police were unleashed, ordered by the governor himself to crack down on the protesters. After weeks of calling ICE agents Gestapo and comparing illegal migrants to Anne Frank, the Minnesota governor is now begging to cooperate with the very administration he declared war against less than 48 hours ago. And what we're about to reveal explains exactly why. Because the walls just closed in on the biggest coordinated insurrection in modern American history, and it's Democrats who are finally going down. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, here to help you make sense of the madness with breaking news and analysis you're not going to get anywhere else. So make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. The scenes from last night were frankly stunning. Minneapolis police officers who've been ordered to stand down by feckless, lawless Democrat politicians these past 6 weeks were finally unleashed to do the very job they all signed up for, restore and maintain law and order. The protesters across Minneapolis were clearly stunned. They simply weren't prepared to get wrestled to the ground and put in handcuffs by the very local law enforcement that stood by and allowed their antics for so long. So what happened? Well, a single phone call with President Trump, that's what happened. Trump and Walz had a, quote, very productive phone call yesterday that apparently has changed everything. Now, what we know is that going into that phone call, the Trump administration received information on infiltrated encrypted signal chats that were orchestrating these riots. And what they found was that the signal chat network didn't just involve clueless left-wing lunatics who had nothing else to do but harass ICE agents. No, the network included Minnesota government officials and even members of Tim Walz's own administration. For example, Amanda Kohler, a campaign strategist for Walz, has been featured prominently within the network as an active participant. Evidence actually suggests Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan may have been involved at the highest levels. And here's the kicker. Investigators found donor lists showing foreign money funding these organizations. You heard that right. Foreign involvement in a coordinated effort to obstruct federal law enforcement. All right, we are talking insurrection and we are talking treason. So the Trump administration uncovered the fact that members of Walz's own government were running an organized operation to track, dox, and obstruct federal law enforcement, which is, again, the very definition of an insurrection, paid for by foreign money, which is the very definition of treason. They were using government databases to run license plates of ICE vehicles, dispatching agitators to block arrests, and coordinating what can only be described as a state-sponsored insurrection. FBI Director Kash Patel confirmed that they have opened a federal investigation into the reaching the highest levels of Minnesota's government. Border Czar Tom Homan is on the ground as we speak in Minnesota, and Trump himself has been repeatedly using the I word insurrection to describe what's happening in Minneapolis. And it just looked as if the Walz were closing in on Walz. It looked like the combination of the uncovering of the signal chat network, the FBI investigation, the Tom Homan coming to Minneapolis to spearhead law enforcement efforts, that was enough to convince Tampon Tim that he was about to get Maduro'd. And so he blinked. He picked up the phone, he called Trump, and now Minneapolis law enforcement has been unleashed to crush the protesters, all as ICE agents catch the rapidly dwindling number of illegal migrants in Minnesota. It's pretty clear that Tim Walz just capitulated completely. Now, make no mistake, this is literal treason we're talking about, right? You've got state officials coordinating with foreign-funded activists to use government resources to obstruct federal agents carrying out their lawful duties. The DHS, the DOJ, the CIA, the FBI, they are all actively investigating right now. Walz knows the jig is up, and he's basically pulling a Mayor Eric Adams at this point, right? Do you remember the New York City Eric Adams Democrat, or former Democrat? He originally stood up to Trump. And he said, we are a sanctuary city and you're not going to, you can't keep busing. Well, this is, you know, this was during the time that originally when Ron DeSantis and our Greg Abbott were busing all of their illegals into New York City. And then Trump came in and Trump said, we're going to crack down on your sanctuary city policies. And Mayor Eric Adams was like, no, you're not. No, we are. This is our citizens. These are they're our neighbors. And then he quickly folded when he got embroiled in his own scandal. Speaking of, by the way, we haven't even mentioned the multi-billion-dollar fraud ring that's being investigated in Minneapolis and is implicating Walz's administration. So make no mistake, that's why Walz surrendered in all of this. Not because he suddenly grew a conscience. Not because he cares about public safety. but because he knows Trump has the receipts. The signal chats have been preserved. The license plate databases have been documented. The foreign donor connections are being traced. And everyone involved, from state representatives to campaign strategists to possibly the lieutenant governor herself, is now under federal investigation. So what's the agreement that Trump and Walz hammered out on that phone call? Well, that's exactly what we're about to find out, but I'll give you a little hint. It's everything Trump wanted. The heart of getting Walz to buckle was the flooding the zone strategy. That's what border czar Tom Homan has been talking so much about of late. You overwhelm sanctuary cities with massive ICE presence. We're talking literally five times the number of their entire police department. And that overwhelming force eventually gets these sanctuary cities to cave. They give up on their sanctuary city policies precisely because the calculus isn't working anymore. Those policies are only exacerbating and increasing the amount of federal agents taking over their cities. And this is the goal for the Trump administration. The goal isn't to flood the zone. The goal isn't to send in, 100,000 federal troops into Minneapolis. The goal is to get cities like Minneapolis to drop their sanctuary city nonsense and cooperate with federal officials so as to remove as many illegal migrants as possible as quickly as possible. Remember, the Trump administration has confirmed that they're removing 10 times the amount of illegals from red states than we're seeing from Minneapolis. But you don't hear about it. It's not in the news every day because there's complete cooperation between state and local law enforcement and federal law enforcement. There are no riots because local police in red states won't allow it. There are no liberal lunatics using their SUVs to try to hamper law enforcement operations of federal agents because local law enforcement won't allow it. That's what the Trump administration ultimately wants from Minneapolis. They've got their eye on the ball. The eye on the ball is to deport all illegal migrants and all future Democrat voters from this country. And it looks like Trump got exactly what he wanted. The flooding the zone with over 3,000 federal agents has worked. It was a forcing mechanism that got Walz to back off on much of his sanctuary city policies. The signal network being uncovered, I'm sure, helped as well. So in exchange, Trump reportedly agreed to pull back some agents. That's the key term he used, some. So as I understand, these are the agents from that extra 1,000 that were sent in with Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino. So these are the guys who otherwise secure the border, the southern border. Their normal job isn't to deal with these obnoxious, odious lunatics in urban environments. They're the ones, these are the Border Patrol officers who close the border so securely that they've reduced monthly illegal border crossings to zero. There is nothing they would love more than to get out of the cold of Minneapolis and get back into the hot deserts of the border. That's what they, with Bovino, by the way, that's what they do. That's their jam. Now, there are conflicting reports as to whether Bovino is going to go back to the border as well. Again, that's what he does. That's what he loves doing. That's what he's great at. But regardless, we'll have to see. Pulling back some agents involves only, as I understand it, portions of the CBP that were brought in to help with security as ICE were making their arrest of illegal migrants. It does not at this point refer to the original 2,000 that came in, the original 2,000 ICE agents that came in 6 weeks ago in the original surge. It appears to be a very minor pullback of these agents. Trump also agreed that local law enforcement can do their own investigations into the recent shooting. But the only way Trump's going to allow any of this is if local and state law enforcement in Minneapolis actually do their jobs and cooperate with ICE and other agencies. And apparently, as you saw in those videos, that is happening. Also, a huge concession from Walz is he's going to honor, again, this is what he's claiming, he's going to honor detainers. In other words, when local law enforcement catch an illegal alien. And federal agents find out about it. What they do is they instruct local law enforcement to keep him in custody, keep him detained, so that they can arrest him. So they don't have to go looking for him, right? That's not what sanctuary cities do. They actually automatically release the migrant, the illegal migrant, once they find out ICE is coming for him. I know it's disgusting, but that's what they've been doing. So ICE has had to go door to door to find these people. Well, it looks like that is now officially over. Minneapolis law enforcement is going to be honoring detainers, which effectively destroys sanctuary city policies. So this would give the operation much more manpower and access to local infrastructure and places to help with efficiency. And so we've got walls conceding and cooperating with ICE, honoring immigration retainers, and then Trump has the leverage of the extra 1,000 federal agents that were sent in. He can use as a carrot for walls and withdraw some of them. So I see this as an unequivocal victory for Trump without question. He is getting exactly what he wants. President Trump just taught Democrats a masterclass in the power of the executive branch. If Trump wants you as governor or mayor to do something, you will do it. Eventually, you will bend the knee. Tim Walz just learned that lesson the hard way. And every other sanctuary state governor just watched it happen in real time. Welcome to Trump's America, where the rule of law is being made great again.
Everybody should go as well to the Council on Foreign Relations website. They have two articles specifically that I'd like to highlight. One is on the conflicts to watch in 2026, which ties exactly to what is being discussed happening in Minnesota and this, you know, crisis and the so-called U.S. political violence that is ratcheting up, which is true, but you have to understand this is entirely manufactured, just as the managed decline is also manufactured. George Soros has been talking on this about this for years. You know, he's a master in terms of color revolutions. Your country is 100% going through a color revolution. And the other article also on the Council on Foreign Relations website is entitled Global Summits to Watch in 2026, Bracing for a New Global Disorder? And I found that the title was very telling because it ties to everything that's been telegraphed in Davos this week, most specifically by Mark Carney. You know, you have all these liberals as well in the cold open that you posted there. They're all fawning over Mark Carney for his speech. But there is another speech that people haven't been paying attention to, which is a speech that was given by the president of Finland, Alex Stubb, in a talk entitled Rebalancing the New World Order. And he framed the current times we're in the following matter. He said that the New World Order can be multilateral with international institutions, open societies, or multipolar with deals and spheres of interest, and how if you give more power to the global south, they will decide the new world order, as Tim Hinchliffe spotted there. The point I'd like to make with regards to that is that multilateralism versus multipolarity is a false dichotomy, because at the end of the day, they both lead to the same destination: centralized power, control, governance, surveillance. This is what we've been talking about for years, Steve, on the War Room. And this is when you zoom out, this is what we're looking at, right? Even the Club of Rome, they had posted many, many years ago about their plan, their multipolar plan, about regional adaptive models for the global world system. And they basically view the world as zones that they want to divide up to make it easier to manage and then centralized, as opposed to the Westphalian model of nation states, as we've been discussing. And so Mark Carney talked about the rupture, and Christine Lagarde yesterday talked about a transition, and I mentioned on the show yesterday that I tend to agree more with Christine Lagarde that this is a transition from the past 80 years and the international superstructure, globalist superstructure that they've been building into this more so-called multipolar world. But as I said, it leads to the same destination. And we have an invisible government that has been at work here for many, many, many decades. We often refer back to 1815, you and I, Steve, and the Congress of Vienna as the meeting where the foundations for the globalist superstructure have been laid out and organized, which have led us to this point. And it really pains me to see what is happening out of the United States of America, all the latest news, because I can see the controlled demolition in play. And the audience, the posse is really the one audience that understands, thanks to your commentary, thanks to all the work that you and your team have been doing, what is actually really happening, the signal, not the noise.
Now, listen to this man who worked behind the scenes, investigated this stuff, high-level asset to the government, but listen to this.
Secure in power, President Chavez decided to weaponize this capability beyond Venezuela's border. Smartmatic would enter into the U.S. election market in Cook County, Illinois, and the state of New Jersey for Democratic Party primary races in 2006. In 2005, Smartmatic orchestrated the purchase of Sequoia Voting Systems, Inc., a U.S. company. Sequoia was a company that had conducted elections in the U.S. for over 100 years and had a 22% market share of the U.S. electoral market. Approximately 18 months later, the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States, CFIUS, began investigating the ownership of Smartmatic because of Smartmatic's Venezuelan connection. Smartmatic immediately put its source code in the Sequoia machines. Smartmatic tried to conceal its Venezuelan connection by hiring a former U.S. naval officer, Jack Blaine, to set up a holding company, SVS Holding, to place its ownership of Sequoia in stock. In December 2006, Smartmatic entered into an agreement with CFIUS to sell Sequoia in 6 months. Antonio Mujica, one of the three original founders, then found a little-known election company in Toronto, Canada, Dominion Election Systems, that had only managed one small local election in Toronto. He arranged for Dominion to purchase Sequoia. Dominion, owned by John Polis, with that purchase of Sequoia, would inherit the licensing agreement for Smartmatic's source code. The source code owned by the Venezuelan regime, i.e. the Cartel del Sol. To be clear, Smartmatic and Dominion would ultimately sign an agreement that provided Dominion with the U.S. market and Smartmatic the international global market. The only two exceptions are that Smartmatic does elections in Los Angeles County and Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico was an issue they ultimately settled in court. In Caracas, in a building owned by the CNE, the Consejo Nacional Electoral, more than 100 software engineers, half in the CNE and half in Smartmatic, worked side by side. Their effort for more than a decade was to perfect the techniques of altering elections and defeating audit. In 2018, Smartmatic publicly, and with the approval of the Venezuelan regime, broke with the regime, the Cartel del Sol, because the Venezuelan CNE's theft of an election was so egregious. The techniques of the source code and machine operate and conceal a theft of an election when the spread of the candidates is between up to the 3 to 5 percentage points. As sophisticated as the machine is, it can be defeated with significant turnout against it. The recent 2024 election in Venezuela was also so blatantly stolen, and the machine could not conceal that massive spread either. In its place, a company called Xclay took Smartmatic's place as the election provider in Venezuela. Allowing Smartmatic to exit Venezuela in this fictitious manner allowed the regime to retain its power and influence over the global electoral market. Smartmatic built a production facility for electronic voting equipment hardware just outside Beijing, China, and then shipped the hardware to a warehouse in Taiwan. In violation of U.S. law, the hardware was marked as manufactured in Taiwan and shipped to both Smartmatic and Dominion for use in U.S. elections. Dominion Voting Systems manages elections in almost all the swing states in the U.S., which determines who wins the presidency. We have evidence and witnesses that can prove the source code operating the election machines of both Smartmatic and Dominion and other election companies are owned by the Venezuelan narco regime. We have evidence and witnesses proving the machines are manufactured in the People's Republic of China.
They learned about this in around 2007, these capabilities. Barack Obama and John Brennan started using it in July of 2009. They set up an Arlington, Virginia NGO called SEPS. George Soros staffed it. The CIA funded it through USAID, $5.9 billion, and they spread this junk technology from the Philippines to Netherlands and everywhere. You know how in the Netherlands, the government's like shutting down farming, and the people are all against it, but they keep on electing these lefties? They're not really getting elected. They're getting elected on Smartmatic equipment.
Wow. Now, that lays it out. And did you hear him say in 2024, what was able to outdo the machines was the massive turnout. People came out in droves, which is why President Trump says too big to rig. They look for the elections where it's within 3 to 5 points, you know, within that margin of error, because then it's easy to use the margin of error as for why they won, which is also why earlier you heard him say the Democrats who were winning by 300 votes, 400 votes. You know, who's going to really question that when it's just a few hundred votes? That seems like it's a really tight race. But when we learn that the source code of these machines is being utilized in all these American voting machines by Smartmatic, by Dominion, which comes from Venezuela, and the centralized location to be able to alter it is spread out around the world. Some is in Germany, some is over in Venezuela, and all of these different locations. The great thing is that the United States is analyzing, looking, and we have technology now set up where we can see anywhere from around the world where people are attempting to hack in and target the machines, which is how Elon Musk was able to short circuit and literally melt the hard drives of the machines in Belgrade while they were attempted, Belgrade, Germany, while they were attempted to hack in the 2024 election. So y'all, I know you're doing it already, but spread the word to your family members, to your friends, to every conservative, God-loving American patriot. You know, we have got to turn out in droves for 2026. And those machines are still being used in these swing states, just like in California.
Our last videos today will also be played back to back without further commentary, and all have to do with the appalling arrogance, self-righteousness, stupidity, and yes, downright evil of U.S. presidential hopeful and leftist corporate media darling, California Governor Gavin Newsom. The first three are commentary about Newsom by Alex Jones on recent editions of the Alex Jones Show. Jones says he was the originator of the comparison of Newsom to the American Psycho movie character Patrick Bateman, played by Christian Bale in the 2000 movie of that name, I believe. Patrick Bateman being a high-powered Wall Street type in the movie who is a secret mass murderer. Jones makes these comments right after Newsom attended the World Economic Forum at Davos this year, last month, and spent much of his time there lambasting Trump. He's a longtime Trump hater and virulent anti-Trump politician. In case you didn't know it, Gavin Newsom was groomed as one of the World Economic Forum's Young Global Leaders Program. I call it the Young Global Communist Globalist Leaders Program. Newsom was born into wealth and privilege. His father was a lawyer for the Getty oil fortune heirs, who reportedly invested in, and I wouldn't be surprised, probably provided business guidance to Newsom for Newsom's business ventures, such as his Plum Jack winery business, and therefore helping him obtain his current $30 million net worth. I also suspect their influence helped Newsom eventually become elected as mayor of San Francisco on his way to becoming governor of California. And you may also not know that Newsom's cousin and business partner a few years ago reportedly gifted Newsom a $3.5 million mansion in the Sacramento area, with high walls around it, of course. Right after Trump returned from Davos last month, he signed an executive order effectively federalizing the disastrous and failed efforts to rebuild the hundreds of Los Angeles Palos Verde community homes destroyed in the January 2025 wildfires there. Newsom claimed the wildfires were the result of climate change, a longtime leftist mantra and fanaticism. And this despite the fact that a reservoir whose water would have been used to fight the Palos Verdes fires was drained and empty at the time and is still empty today in the current wildfire season. And this being the season when we get these very hot and dry Santa Ana winds, which, if we have fires, make them much worse. Now, more than 1 year after all these high-end homes were destroyed in that wildfire in 2025, only about half dozen homes have been approved for rebuilding, with the rest of the residents still hopelessly mired in government regulations and red tape as they try to get building permits issued. You'll hear Alex Jones say this was all by design, which I agree with 100%. As Newsom, longtime Los Angeles mayor and communist sympathizer Karen Bass, and others running the state want to buy up land in Palos Verdes and build high-rise, low-income housing for illegal immigrants and other poor people, and create so-called smart cities, or sometimes they're called 15-minute cities, which would actually be among the first of hoped-for government digital police state communities where everything is monitored 24/7. The next two videos are additional commentary by Alex Jones on Newsom, followed by our last video presentation on today's program, which is commentary by YouTube podcaster Ramin on his Ramin Real Talk show and channel there. In his presentation, Ramin relates how the scandal of the now estimated $37 billion spent on eliminating homelessness in California, which has done nothing and has increased homelessness has actually increased, as California is the home to one-third of the nation's homeless population. And this money has supposedly been squandered without any oversight or auditing to discover where the money went. And this is just one of many current scandals going on, financial scandals of government waste and fraud in California, which has drawn the interest of the federal government now, starting numerous investigations there. And supposedly this lack of audit of the $37 billion to help fight homelessness is exclusively the result of Gavin Newsom vetoing not one but two bills passed unanimously by the state legislature to enable such auditing. This monumental incompetence, or worse, intentional corruption, is just part of what ultimately could be hundreds of billions of government waste and fraud being alleged to have taken place in California in recent years and now being investigated by the federal government.
I got very excited when I saw this because they burned down the Palisades on purpose, set the whole thing up, and I'm finally seeing Fox News, which is a bellwether, on every subject saying, no, they deliberately want to get people killed. No, they deliberately burned down the Palisades. No, they deliberately are targeting our children with poison shots. That's Fox News, not just Jesse Waters, but other shows. That shows how mainstream the awakening's gotten. So here's the big bombshell. Trump signs executive order for feds to take over LA's nightmare wildfire rebuild in huge boost for victims. So let's just stop right there. I didn't even know that was the New York Post analysis. I got this 20 minutes before the show started, and I read the executive order, and that's what it says, and it says more. It basically federalizes almost the whole state because they've been deliberately incompetent and sabotaged every level. The reservoirs, the roads, the national parks. Especially out west, you know, the feds control the majority of the land still. And, you know, it's bad when you got globalist feds who have, you know, where you can't use the land or whatever, use that as a weapon. It's good when you got a patriot fed, and Trump has a plan to actually sell off most of the federal land to small stakeholders, which is a great idea, which you're supposed to do. At least sell off a lot of it. But the point is that Trump just nuked them from orbit. And I know the federal law. I know the regulations. I know the history. This is all constitutional, especially when you have the direct admitted total mismanagement by design. Then all these laws kick in, and Trump can just basically neuter Gavin Newsom, who has been so arrogant. So, quite frankly, I am tempted just to suspend all other coverage and cover this, because there is no way to do this properly in even 30 minutes. I mean, this is bombshell. And then you've got all these new developments in and around it that I've been kind of building up the last week that I haven't gotten to that go with this. Benny Johnson went out there a week and a half ago and went to the famous reservoir, 76 million gallons, just built above the Palisades, just for fire. Back then we had governments that cared and said, yeah, you have to have this. They drained it despite no problems with it a month before. Then they lied and claimed it was filled but won't let anybody in. People are suing to see it. Well, Benny just flew a damn drone over it. The son of a bitch is empty. And they have put in state and federal filings it's full. When you realize the level of these crooks, folks, that's because if there's more fires, they want more to burn down. They wouldn't send fire engines that night till the next morning. That's on record. I told you they declared a 15-minute city, and he declared a state emergency and said that he's over, who can rebuild? And I told you they wouldn't let anybody rebuild. They've let no one rebuild. I think it's six homes that were globalist insiders who have been allowed to begin. No one else can do anything. And remember, the mayor goes, oh, no, we'll let you start next week. All lies. And they're coming in. They got rid of everybody's insurance, you know, like the month before, half the people's insurance. This is a plan, people. And now they're going to build high-rises for illegal aliens and all the rest of it. It's going to be a smart city. I told you 2 days into it, that was the fact. And Elon Musk reposted my video about it where I predicted it all. And MSNBC attacked me. And Jen Psaki said, look how insane Jones's video and post is. And Elon Musk retweeted it. This is insane. And I lay out everything in the 4-minute video that's now happened. But I haven't gotten to the really juicy clips yet of Trump tearing into the globalists. We're going to get to those. And then, I mean, when I saw the headline this morning before I clicked on the video, I said, this can't be real. Because I'm proud of myself in things like this. It's fun. I love coining things that enter into the culture and the vernacular. And I am the person that first called Governor Newsom, Patrick Bateman. He was running for governor. He'd been the mayor of San Francisco. I'd covered him some then and all the scams he ran there. But I remember when he was running, I said, who's he remind me of one time live on air? I go, who's the American Psycho? And the producer goes, Patrick Bateman. And I went, it's Patrick Bateman 2.0. And now everybody calls him Patrick Bateman 2.0. So I get satisfied about victories against the globalists. But I do get a pride thing, which I know you're not supposed to do, but I'm actually proud that he is known as, because, you know, new scum, that's not good enough. You know what I mean? No, he looks like more psychotic than Christian Bale in that movie. I mean, he just rips it. I mean, my skin crawls. Oh, God, Ilhan Omar, my skin crawls. Hillary Clinton, my skin crawls. You know, Obama can hide the demonic energy. He's got that thing, hey, you know. But no, not Hillary, not Omar, not Newsom. Man, I mean, my cells just literally go, enemy, 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 enemy. And man, that Joker face, and then all his, and then everything he does, he's so damn evil. God, he's bad. And he wants to be president so bad. And I watched him, I got video, when Trump was speaking. He does that happy wiggle when he's talking about land he's going to steal or something bad he's going to do. He was not doing the happy dance. He was doing the crap the bed dance. And last night in Davos, he's like, you better watch out when he gets here. Europeans better watch out. He's dangerous. He looks so scared. Because he knows, man, he's committed so much crime. Oh, him and his buddies burned down the Palisades 100%. And he is a damn monster. I mean, that is that's the devil, folks. I mean, you know, I don't know how, if you don't, people ask, how do you know you have the Holy Spirit? If you got any Holy Spirit, when you look at Governor Newsom, if you don't have your skin crawled, there's something wrong with you. And, you know, it makes it funny to show Patrick Bateman photos. The real photos of him are way scarier now. Yeah, let's just look at some real photos of him. I mean, see, that's a real photo of him right there. That's what he looks like. I mean, that's a devil right there. 100%. And, all right, hour number two.
I think it's very, very ironic that, you know, Governor Newsom, who strikes me as Patrick Bateman meets Sparkle Beach Ken, may be the only Californian who knows less about economics than Kamala Harris. He's here this week with his billionaire sugar daddy, Alex Soros, and the Davos is a perfect place for a man who, when everyone else was on lockdown, when he was having people arrested for going to church, he was having $1,000 a night meals at the French Laundry, and I'm sure the California people won't forget that. And I can tell, my message to Governor Newsom is the Trump administration is coming to California. We are going to crack down on waste, fraud, and abuse. And I was told he was asked to give a speech on his signature policies, but he's not speaking because what have his economic policies brought? Outward migration from California, a gigantic budget deficit, the largest homeless population in America, and the poor folks in the Palisades who had their homes burned down. He is here hobnobbing with the global elite while his California citizens are still homeless. Shame on him. He is too smug, too self-absorbed, and too economically illiterate to know anything.
Thank you very much.
Let me know if you need any further clarification.
Gavin's a good guy. And we're going to, if he needed it, I would do it in a heartbeat. I'd love to see. We did help them a lot in Los Angeles, a lot with the early in my term when they had some problems. But we would love to do it. I will say this, if I were a Democrat governor or whatever, I would call up Trump. I'd say, come on in, make us look good, because we're cutting crime down to nothing. And we're taking people out, career criminals who are only going to do bad things, and we're bringing them back to their countries. But where we've done it has been amazing. And we have a capacity to do it at much greater levels.
Wake up. Where the hell has everybody been? Stop with this diplomacy of sort of niceties, and somehow we're all going to figure it out. Stop saying one thing privately and another publicly. Have some spine. Have some goddamn balls. Excuse my language.
Governor Newsom, do you have a message for Europeans who are concerned about the messages from the White House?
Look how insane he is.
This week?
Yeah, it's time to buck up. It's time to get serious.
By the way, pause. And stop. I've known a lady for about 10 years, I'll leave it at that, who worked in the mayor's office directly for him. And she's been about 2 inches away from talking about it. And if and when he does run for president, she's probably going to come on the show. And I told her, I was out in California a while back, about a year ago, there with my daughter and Rob Duke covering Bohemian Grove, and she lived nearby. So we're talking to her, and she was just like, yeah, it's bad. But, I mean, he is what he looks like. I mean, he is a psycho. And at least back then, falling down drunk by noon many days on all sorts of drugs and just literally just, well, you can imagine. Let's just say he's Bill Clinton 2.0. And that shows how fully compromised he is as well. All right, let's go back to a little bit more of him. Here he is.
Time to stand tall and firm, have a backbone. I've seen this in the United States, the supine Congress playing both sides, you know, saying one thing on a text or a tweet and another publicly. It's time to have principle. It's time to stand tall and strong.
Does that mean
to stand united. You make that determination. I don't make that determination.
He's definitely a right there.
Just, I can't take this complicity. People rolling over. I should have brought a bunch of knee pads for all the world leaders. I mean, handing out crowns and handing, I mean, this is pathetic. Nobel Prizes that are being given away. I mean, it's just pathetic. And I hope people understand how pathetic they look on the world stage. I mean, at least from an American perspective, it's embarrassing.
So what should
Time
do?
They, you should decide, the Europeans should decide for themselves what to do. But one thing they can't do is what they've been doing.
All right, let's stop right there.
$37 billion. That's how much California spent on homelessness since 2019. And you know what happened? It got worse. 24% worse. So when lawmakers asked, hey, where'd the money go? Gavin Newsom said,
the homeless, they lose $20 billion, but they want more money for it. Well, that's why people get tired of paying taxes and going, well, what are you doing? Gavin Newsom just vetoed a bill asking for an audit of where the money for homeless goes. He said, not a chance. You're not going to see that.
That's David Spade, the comedian. Even he's talking about this, and he's right. Newsom vetoed the audit bill. It passed 72-0 in the Assembly, 40-0 in the Senate. Unanimous, both parties. And Newsom killed it. Now, why would you do that? Unless you're hiding something. So I started digging. Now, here's what the state's own auditor found. California spent $37 billion since 2019 on homelessness. Now, if you've been watching this channel, you might remember a few months ago I told you it was $24 billion. Every time I get back to the mic, the fraud gets bigger. It's like they're trying to outdo each other by setting new records. $37 billion, 9 different agencies, 30 different programs. And not a single one of them could tell you if the money actually worked. No tracking, no outcomes, no accountability. Meanwhile, homelessness went up. We now have 187,000 people living on the streets. That's half of all the homeless people in America, right here in California. Now, here's what got Kevin O'Leary fired up. You know him, Mr. Wonderful from the Shark Tank. He went on Fox News and just asked the obvious question.
This situation where we want to audit the billions that went to the homeless, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Hey, can you show me where the $37 billion went? And he got, go pound sand.
Right.
That's a bad look. It's a really bad look. And frankly, you know, you don't know till you audit it. But why not audit it? Why not be transparent?
Why not be transparent? And that's the question, right? It's your money. You paid it. And now you just want to know where it went. And the answer California gives you,
because the obvious answers that come back are either, in the most charitable of situations, incompetence, or in perhaps the more probable outcome, fraud. And the only answer that Californians ever get is higher taxes.
Incompetence or fraud? Well, the FBI just answered the question for us. In October, the feds announced their first arrests. Two guys, both from LA, both charged with stealing money that was supposed to help the homeless people. First guy, Cody Holmes, 31 years old. He was the CFO of a company called Shangri-La Industries. They build affordable housing. The state gave him $26 million to build homeless housing in Thousand Oaks. Now, you know what Holmes allegedly did with that money? Well, he went shopping, like every good guy should. Luxury retailers, paid off his American Express cards, $2 million on your dime. Oh, and the housing? Yeah, it never got built. Second guy, Stephen Taylor. This one's even better. He bought a property in Cheviot Hills for $11.2 million. Used fake bank documents to get the loan. Then he immediately flipped it to a nonprofit that builds homeless housing for $27.3 million. That's a $16 million profit exposed. And the nonprofit paid for it with public funds, your tax dollars. The U.S. attorney held a press conference and said something that should terrify every taxpayer in the state. He said, these two cases were just the tip of the iceberg. Just the tip. Now, here's where it gets really ugly. The state knew there were problems. The audit said so. The lawmakers said so. Everyone knew. So what'd they do? Well, in 2024, a Republican assemblyman named Josh Hoover wrote a simple bill, AB 2903. All it said was, hey, state agencies, you need to actually report how you're spending the homeless money.
Just tell us where it goes. Radical idea, right? It passed the Assembly 72-0. It passed the Senate 40-0. Not a single no vote. Democrats, Republicans, everyone agreed. And Newsom, he vetoed it. His excuse? He said similar measures were already in place. Well, really? Then how did $37 billion disappear with no accountability? How did homelessness get worse? How did two guys just get arrested for stealing millions? If those measures worked, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But wait, because it's going to get better. This wasn't the first time. Earlier that same year, Newsom vetoed another audit bill, AB 2570, also passed with no opposition. He blocked oversight twice in the same year. Now, I know. You might be thinking, okay, a couple of bad actors got caught. That doesn't mean the whole system's corrupt. Fair point. So, let me play you something. This is Dr. Oz. Yeah, that Dr. Oz. He's now running Medicare and Medicaid for the federal government. He just did an interview where he talked about what he found in California.
And Minnesota, which is cold this time of year, is just the tip of the iceberg. I think what we're seeing in Minnesota, which is billions of dollars of fraud, because it is dwarfed by what I saw in California, which is whole-scale cultural malfeasance around healthcare. There is a acceptance that you need to be in the fraud business, especially in Los Angeles.
Did you hear that? An acceptance that you need to be in the fraud business. That's not me saying it. That's the guy running federal healthcare. He's saying California has a culture of fraud. And the numbers back him up. He said LA County alone, just one county, has an estimated $4 billion in healthcare fraud, just in hospice and home healthcare. 10% of all the billing in those categories for the entire country is coming from Los Angeles. Something is very, very wrong. Now let me bring this home to you, because this isn't just a California problem.
This isn't just California. These are federal taxes, so we're all paying for this.
That's right. Federal money flows into these programs. Your money, whether you live in California or Texas or Florida or anywhere else. And it's not just the fraud. It's the waste. You know how much it costs to build one unit of homeless housing in California? $1 million per unit. Santa Monica just approved a 122-unit building for the homeless, three blocks from the beach, $1 million each. And that doesn't even include the land. Well, why so expensive? Well, they're union-only contracts, regulations that add years to constructions. Permit fees pile up while nothing gets built. Studies show government regulations add 40% to housing costs in California. Exposed. And who benefits? Well, the developers, the contractors, the consultants, everyone except the homeless people it's supposed to help. Meanwhile, David Sacks, the PayPal billionaire, points out the obvious.
California collects roughly double per capita what Texas and Florida do. Services got worse, test scores got worse, crime prevention and enforcement got worse. They let convicts out of jails. Everything's gotten worse.
Double the taxes. Exposed. And everything got worse. So here's the good news, if you can call it that. The federal government is finally stepping in. In April, U.S. Attorney Bill Esiely announced a new task force, FBI, IRS, criminal investigation, HUD Inspector General. They're going through the books. He said, and I quote, "If state and local officials cannot provide proper oversight and accountability, we'll do it for them. If we discover any federal laws were violated, well, we'll make arrests." And they're already making arrests. Two down, more coming. They're using AI-powered fraud detection right now, something California never bothered to do. The state auditor found 8 California agencies are high risk for fraud. That number has doubled under Newsom's watch. The feds, they're done waiting. Now, here's why this matters beyond California. Because Gavin Newsom wants to be president. You know it, I know it, and everyone else knows it too. And Kevin O'Leary had the perfect response to that.
This whole thing in Minnesota has lit up everybody's interest in accountability and transparency. And now Newsom, we know with certainty, he has presidential aspirations. Right now, people say he has no executional skills and he's a bad manager. And is there any evidence that that's not true?
Is there any evidence that's not true? That's the question Newsom has to answer. And right now, well, he's got nothing. $37 billion spent. Homelessness up 24%. Two guys arrested for fraud. And he vetoed the audit twice. That's his record. That's what he's running on.
And we should remember this come 28 when Gavin Newsom starts telling people that he should be president of the United States.
Remember that. Look, I get it. Homelessness is a real problem. People are suffering. But that's exactly why this matters. Every dollar stolen is a dollar that didn't help someone get off the streets. Every million spent on luxury shopping and property flips is money that could have actually built housing. Every time Newsom blocked an audit, he protected the people getting rich off this crisis, not the people living in it. David Spade sees it. Kevin O'Leary sees it. Dr. Oz sees it. David Sachs sees it. The FBI sees it. The only people who don't see it are the ones benefiting from it. So share this video because Sacramento is counting on you to stay quiet. I'm Ramin. This is Real Talk.